The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Welcome to the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
13 after 7, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. And open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday time here for a while. We'll also catch up on the firearm laws and changes and policies and court battles and everything else. Kevin Starrett will join me here about 20, 25 minutes or so. Todd's in Central Point. Todd, you wanted to weigh in on Greg Rabideau's take, or Rabideau. Rabideau is his name, actually, filmmaker. And we were digging into what went wrong at Disney in his take, the latest with Snow White and the Seven Virtue Signals, I think, is what that was. Pretty crazy movie from the looks of it. Big bomb. And what can you add to that, given your experience? What happened?
Well, my background is I was born – he was spot on, by the way. I was born in Hollywood in 1960, and growing up there, all of the kids you go to school with, all their parents were in the entertainment industry. My father had a graphic arts business. Most of his clientele were in the industry. I took it over from him. My wife and I did it for 20 years before I moved on to other things. But the mindset of the entertainment industry has changed so much. If people want to know who represents the culture of Hollywood today, whether it's the music industry, whether it's the movies or anything else, the epicenter of the essence of it is West Hollywood. And for those who don't know Los Angeles, West Hollywood is its own little city west of Hollywood. And not to put too fine a point on it, but let's say you were in that area and looking for the highest concentration of gay and transgender bars, that would be where you'd go. That's where all the writers live. That's where all the production people live, or in the Hollywood Hills there. And so it's such a small percentage of our population, but it permeates everything that comes out of not just the entertainment industry, but the news industry too, whether it's ABC, CBS, any of them. It seems like that is where their essence is. And it's depressing to me, because when I was growing up there, it was just regular folks. I grew up right across the street from Warner Brothers Studios. They didn't even used to have security. You could just wander onto the sets and walk between the sound studios. It was really a wonderful time. But the industry of change, Los Angeles, the essence of it, you used to have Lockheed and General Motors and all sorts of production there. Now it's shifted.
Do you think, Todd, in all seriousness, now artists of all stripes have tended to think differently than many people. I don't think there's anything unusual about that. I think that's what makes artists successful a lot of times, or an artist in one way, whether you're painting, whether you're doing film, whether you're writing books. You'll tend to look at the world from a little bit of a different angle. And what do you think it is, though, about you talked about West Hollywood, the gay and transgendered, and it all going into entertainment. Do you think it was actually part of an agenda, or just sort of it grew up naturally in, well, now that we're in a world in which there is no truth, supposedly? Everything is just all relative. Everything's relative. Now, I don't agree with that, but that seems to be the world where we are right now.
Well, yeah, I think it also has to do with the privileged elites. You know, like a lot of the kids I went to school with, their parents lived in the Hollywood Hills, and they were the movers and the shakers. I can remember one time back when I was in high school, a guy goes driving by. A group of us teenagers are hanging out, working on our cars. The guy goes driving by in his tuxedo, said, "I'm going to the Oscars," probably, you know, audio or cinematography or something. Yeah. An hour later, he comes back holding an Oscar in his hands, and he just goes driving by. That was just normal down there. Huh. But so, you know, like when I was growing up there, Rob Reiner grew up in the Hollywood Hills right above me. We grew up in a similar place, but he might as well have grown up on another planet, because you're in that small circle of people and you have this feeling of entitlement and that you're superior to everyone else. And you need to get your ideas to dominate everyone else.
It would seem then that if you really want to start changing the culture here, getting rid of Hollywood as the epicenter and stop sending money to Hollywood would seem to be part of the process, really, wouldn't it?
Well, that seems to have happened with that. I know Snow White is just one of them, but I'm sure you've seen the videos of completely empty theaters where not one seat was taken. There's even a video of Ziegler sitting in the audience by herself, and then when her name comes on the screen, she starts screaming with delight. It's so myopic. And I'm so encouraged by what your guest Greg said, because it's being diversified now. It's not just Paramount and Disney. And
True diversity. However, though, when it comes to the big films, though, he does say, though, that they need investors. It takes people to be able to write the big checks here. And I think what's important, though, is to not feed that beast. And that's why I would talk to people I know, friends of mine, relatives of mine, grandparents, and think that they have to have Disney Plus in order to have a grandchild over. I'm thinking, no. Don't send the money, okay?
I also appreciate you asking why he brought it up. Why do they keep retreading the same stuff? They wanted to have a diverse movie. They didn't have to call it Snow White. Mm-hmm. They could have called it anything. They just completely lack any kind of talent or originality today.
But I think it's deeper than that, Todd. I think it's also about destroying any kind of moral or cultural standard. I think it's also, I really do think that is part of it. And frankly, that's communism, Marxism. You have to break down the current morality in order to bring in the perfect state, as it were. Thanks for sharing your thoughts on that. That's great. Todd, having grown up in Hollywood, 19 minutes after 7, 770-5633. We'll continue taking your calls. This is The Bill Maier Show on Conspiracy Theory Thursday.
If your garage or overhead shop door needs service or repair, please consider
You're hearing The Bill Maier Show on 106.3 KMED.
And streamed on KMED.com. Podcasts available on BillMaierShow.com. Thanking the folks at Clouser Drilling for making that all possible. Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Kind of stumbled into the entertainment world here. E.J. Snyder earlier last hour was talking about his preparedness book. And, of course, he's super emergency preparedness guy. And then I'm talking with Greg Ribidow or Ruby-Doo or... I'm going to get his name right at some point. Scooby-Doo. We'll just call him Scooby-Doo. But talking about the career downhill, of the Disney Corporation, Snow White, the very latest there. And David's here. Hey, David, what's on your mind? You want to weigh in? Go ahead.
Hey, Bill, it's a really great segue to Conspiracy Theory Thursday, because the reason the entertainment industry or media, whatever you want to call it, storytelling, is suffering is that we are at the point in our culture, we've explored every single storyline and every single possible archetype to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. And we literally are being forced to graduate to the next level of what people are going to become, because all the stories that we have, right? It's the story of, okay, we know about lovers, we know about betrayal, we know about kings, superheroes. We even have movies about depressed teens and bugs. And
right.
Usually it's people reacting to their environment, right? And then doing the best they can, or sometimes they get a little boost of supernatural powers. But we are bored with what humans can do in our current paradigm. And so I think media is going to have to shift to see what people can do in our more infinite nature once we attain consciousness. And so, but that's why all the media and television sucks, is that all these are the same stories for 6,000 years at this point,
Yeah, just exactly. But of course, all of those stories, those same stories you talk about for 6,000 years, though, and more, really, aren't they universal human stories, though? And every generation of humans that come up will have some variation of that. I don't know if we're always, it's the struggle for resources, it's the struggle for power, it's the struggle for love. Yeah, it's the struggle.
Right.
It's the struggle for meaning in a greater world. So, is it that we're tired of the same stories, or we're tired of the same rehashing of old ways of telling the story? And that's kind of what I'm wondering here.
Well, the archetypes don't serve us anymore, because when the stories were written initially, the level of consciousness was like, okay, you got to teach your daughter not to marry a caveman, or you've got to your son.
Don't marry the caveman. Trespass. Marry the farmer. Okay, the agrarian guy. Right.
Don't trespass on the king's land. He'll kill you. Or this is how you know someone's going to betray you. I mean, they were useful archetypes, but really, why is Spider-Man so upset? He's upset because he got done dirty and he's got a grudge. Okay, and the same thing with Batman.
But that'll never change. But, you know, those kind of stories will never change. You'll always get dirty,
Batman,
get done dirty,
Batman needs to forgive. You know, Batman's been pissed off for 70 years now. He needs to learn about forgiveness.
Yeah, Batman needs to forgive? I don't know. David, I don't want you writing my movies, okay?
Yeah. No, he needs to stop beating up homeless people or whatever he's doing. He's mad.
No, I'm not saying beat up the homeless people either, for crying out loud, okay?
What's Batman doing? What is he doing? Beating up people? Okay, yeah, he finds people that are, like, robbing a bank, and he gets to beat them up because he's mad about his parents. Okay, that's the whole storyline.
Okay, but every generation is going to need a variation of that, right?
Well, no, because we are now at the changing of the entire paradigm.
Okay. Now, when you talk about the rising of consciousness, though, aren't you really talking about the merger of humanity with machine, with the AI god?
No. That's what they will sell you as the next evolution. But the rest of us, right, are walking in a way of consciousness, are not going to tell stories about people that are living with their anger forever. And so all the archetypes are reacting to their environment. They are subject to their environment. They are subject to their human nature. And sometimes they get a little superpower, but it doesn't really change the fact that we are bored with what a human can do. We need to know what humans can do beyond ourselves. That's where the new stories have to go.
All right. I appreciate your call. All right. You cut against my grain a little bit. I like that, David. All right. But I still don't want you writing my movies. Okay.
Batman forgive.
Batman forgives. Well, I don't know. Gen Z might go for that. Batman forgives.
He just grows a beard and goes out in the trees and just kind of lays there.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Thanks for the call, David. Let me go next on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. SLM.
Brad, how the heck are you at the Slovenian Lives Matter? Good to have you on.
You know, what I find fascinating, you are part of a media source that I've lived with all my life that I depend on, and you're one of the last, you're one of the few that still feed us information that's valuable. But the reason I bring this up, I'm a media guy, and what I've noticed during the election cycle, on YouTube especially, all these new players that are now developing a database that speak to the public.
Right.
And speak to the public more like we used to think. And how it's measured is what's happening to, it's like the Snow White thing. I love the fact she's getting hosed. Robert De Niro, latest movie, he's getting hosed.
Yeah. But you know, they keep making them, though, I guess. And what I'm wondering, though, is if the magic money machine, and I can't help but think of the magic money machine as also including the fraud within the federal government, the USAID type things. Do you think we'll see more hosing of the bad stuff as time goes on, instead of like, hey, you have no choice. If you want to watch a movie, you're going to watch De Niro, even if it's bad. Well, or you're going to watch Rachel Zegler do a bad Disney.
Bill, you're right behind me. I'm 70. I know you're in your late 60s. Mm-hmm. Point being, we're in a culture shift right now. How long the culture shift lasts, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's happening is there's a reaction to a mindset. One of the ways I measure this, Tom Hanks gets on Saturday Night Live and really excoriates himself, acting like a mega guy, and really exposes really who he is. And he's a radical lefty, but it was undeniable radical lefty. And I think the point being is it's going to show up in how people spend their money.
And you're thinking that it was easier to hide it before. So in some ways, don't get upset when you have a Rachel Zegler shoot her face off, essentially, with her
Absolutely.
Talking.
Absolutely. And what I love, and I don't, you know, you always have to measure things to reality. My point is this: it's amazing. The View, for example, finally is being held accountable. Now, I don't know to what extent, but I guess Goldie Hawn, or not Goldie Hawn, Goldie, Anyway.
Oh, Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg.
Goldberg.
Yeah.
Yeah. The FBI has broken into her house.
Really? Didn't hear that one.
Oh, yeah, apparently. They're doing a major investigation for whatever reason. But point being that these people are so anarchistic, and they've gotten away with it. But I think at least with this current administration, those kind of mindsets are being held accountable.
All right. Hey, appreciate the call. And thank you, Brother Brad. 7:30. KMED 99.3 KBXG. We'll catch up on the rest of the news here in just a moment. And we'll also catch up with what is going on. The record has been mixed. Attack on the Second Amendment still continuing, but we have to keep you informed of what's going on. Kevin Starrett will rejoin the show shortly.
One of each. K4 VIN 016551 MSRP 24145. Telluride VIN 615524 MSRP 4270 5699 due 10K miles per year. Zero security deposit. All incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity.
The Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Now, was that gunfire, was that in Portland where that was recorded recently? I don't know. Kevin Starrett rejoins the program, and he is head cook and bottle washer there at Oregon Firearms Federation, OregonFirearms.org. Boy, there's a lot of Second Amendment news in the air around here, Kevin. Welcome back, and first off, I want to ask you, you have a two-day shooting event that is going to benefit the Oregon Firearms Federation because there's a lot of money needed to fight all, you know, everything that's being thrown at us right now. What's the story there? Because people are talking about attending from all over the state, from what I understand.
Yeah, so some good folks who have an indoor range in Lebanon have come to us and said, we want to help you guys out. And so they're putting on this great event. They have an indoor shooting range with simulated shooting. They have a gun store. They do a lot of police training there. It's 2 days. There's going to be raffles. And, you know, people have been contacting me and saying, you know, hey, why don't you do something in Southern Oregon? I say, look, this was 100% the work of John Jones and the folks in the Oregon Indoor Shooting Range. I put a link up on the website where the alerts are that has the details, the location, and the contact information. And these guys have been tremendously, you know, great for us. You know, we've had so many people helping us out because, you know, when you get involved, I hate lawsuits. I want to deal with things legislatively. I don't like going into court because all it takes is one lunatic judge. And in fact, we have thousands of lunatic judges who can instantly find against you and then bankrupt you. And that's clearly what they're attempting to do. You know, we see that not just with us, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, lawfare is the new way it is. Everything you try to accomplish, some billionaire is funding a lawsuit.
And what's really going on here is that the left has figured out that they're not winning elections, even rigged elections that they would, you know, largely control here. They're not winning them to the same extent as they had. And so the only thing they have to do at this point, you go to the lawyers, you go to the judges. That's where they have defaulted to these days.
Yeah, and when you look at when you see what's going on now, where we're having what's being exposed is the outrageous misuse of taxpayer funds, which are largely going to these non-governmental organizations, which are far left, you know, like far left news outlets and far left people, you know, smuggling immigrants in, and so they're funded. You know, we try to figure out how are we going to pay for all these lawsuits, and people donate because they're patriots and they believe in the Second Amendment. But at the same time, all those people are also paying these NGOs through the tax money that's being stolen and extorted from them. And that's not just a national problem. You know, if you look at the news from Portland on almost any day, you will see a story of some non-governmental, quote, nonprofit that's a far-left nonprofit that's funded by Oregon taxpayers, that not only are they running far-left scams, but in many cases, they're just stealing the money. Nobody knows where it goes, and no one's accountable. And so, you know, I'm hoping that what we're seeing now with this tidal wave of lawsuits, and we've always had them, but now they're coming like every day there's 10 new lawsuits against what, you know, what the administration's doing, what we're trying to do. I hope that people will get a better idea of just how out of control the judiciary is. I mean, we have been victims of lawfare ourselves.
Yep.
And there's nothing you can do. You know, when a judge says, okay, you're screwed. That's it. There's no recourse. You can't hold them accountable. And I don't think anything's going to happen quickly. But I think that people are more and more saying, we can't move forward on any idea, even if you don't like the idea. if it's a new idea, it's going to immediately get shot down or delayed in the courts to the point where it'll go on forever, which we just saw yesterday in this Supreme Court case about ghost guns.
Now, the ghost gun situation, this country has a tradition right from the very beginning that you made homemade firearms and that was it. And now the federal government would then claim that if you wanted to sell homemade firearms, that's a different story, and then we will choose to regulate you. Biden administration was trying to make it really hard to do ghost guns. And see, ghost guns is a pejorative when it comes right down to it. It's just homemade firearms. That's all it is. And we've done it forever. And the thing is, the Supreme Court then said that it's perfectly within the Constitution to do so, which astounds me that they came up with this.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When you read the decision, it sounds like some of the points they're making make sense. But if you look at the dissents, particularly Thomas's dissent, he kind of shoots them right out. But what's important to understand about this decision is it resolves nothing. They bent over backwards to not take a position. And if you look at these decisions, very often you'll see, well, we're not addressing this issue, and we're not addressing that issue, and the plaintiffs didn't bring up this point, so we're not going to discuss it. So when you get into court, you could go in there and say, look, here's an incredibly important fact that changes the complexion of the argument. And the court will say, we're not going to hear it. You know, you didn't bring that up before, or that's not before us.
It's almost as if even our so-called, quote unquote, conservative Supreme Court has been programmed to take a dive on certain things. Now, this is Conspiracy Theory Thursday, Kevin. Am I just expressing just a raving lunatic conspiracy theory? I'm just talking about the way it looks to me sometimes.
It's not the way it looks. It's the way it is. It is an absolute determined effort to not make decisions. And in this case, what the court said was, well, there, as long as there is the possibility that one of these devices, that one of these products that you buy could be, in their estimation, readily converted into a gun, then the rule is legal. And I don't think they really did it from a constitutional standpoint. They just said, you know, it's not violating the rule that says the legislature makes the rules. They said anytime any product, one product can fit within this rule, then the rule stands. But they also said, well, there are other products that wouldn't fit within this rule, but we're not going to address that. You know, that's point by point. We're not going to do it. So it's painful to read it, but it's incredibly instructive for two reasons. One thing is they made it a point to decide nothing. And the other thing is when you read it, you realize that the definitions and the terms that Congress has adopted for firearms related things are so poorly written that you really can't comply with them.
Well, poorly written laws, though, give you a lot of room for tyranny, or they enable a lot of tyranny. Poorly written laws.
That's exactly the point. If the law is so broad that anything you do potentially violates it, and then the courts are predisposed to find against you, which of course in Oregon they are.
Yep.
The Ninth Circuit just said that magazines are not parts of guns. They are accessories, and therefore they are not protected and can be banned.
Which is insane on its face because they do not function without a magazine. Period.
Not only that, but if you did accept that, then you could say that one round, all magazines can be banned. That's basically what they said, which then, of course, makes the firearm useless. But at the same time, the Oregon Appeals Court, finding against us in the Measure 114 case, said, no, magazines are absolutely protected arms. We're still going to allow you to restrict them, which made no sense. But every court's coming up with a different definition. The Ninth Circuit's definition is idiotic. It's, as you said, on its face is idiotic. The U.S. Supreme Court is in no way conservative. I mean, there's maybe two conservative justices on it. But one of the things that Justice Thomas pointed out is, by this definition, all AR-15 rifles can be banned because you could say these could be easily converted to machine guns. And the court responded to his dissent. This is crazy. Basically saying, you know, I don't think they'll ever do that.
Oh, come on. Now, wait a minute. You sent me a story, and I was reading this story yesterday, And it was what a Colorado bill restricting sale of certain semi-automatic guns. It has cleared the first House committee. And you were telling me, hey, listen, this will be coming to Oregon. This is the next line of attack. And isn't it exactly doing just that? That sort of thing.
Yeah. And in that case, in Colorado's case, they just said, well, you're not allowed to own these guns because we say so. But under the Supreme Court's reasoning, Thomas is exactly right. Somebody comes along and says, wait a minute, if I make these following changes to an AR-15 action, it fires fully automatically. Or, you know, I add this particular part to it and it fires automatically. Mm-hmm. Now, those parts are regulated and largely illegal, but they're not impossible to get. In fact, the ATF, and for people who think I'm lying, I have this letter from the ATF saying that a shoelace is a machine gun. A shoelace. So
now, properly tied in a certain way, right? That's how
So what? Okay, we're hoping that with the ATF and FBI taken over by people who are not irrational lunatics and gun haters and you know, crazy people, this will be a little bit abated. But it is certainly possible to happen. And so the Supreme Court is completely wrong on this. And they, you know, you can't take the position. They basically said, well, you know, you can have a part and it can be this machine, but not that machine, but we're not going to provide any definitions. So they really provided no guidance at all. And that was the point of the whole decision, was to provide no guidance. So this thing just drags on and on.
So you combine this reality, though, Kevin, with the fact that even when the Supreme Court does do a good, pretty tight decision, the Bruin decision, then other states ignore that. And you get that impression that we're getting way past the time of revolutionary, you know, 1776 kind of stuff, you know, time. It's like, you know, because everyone says, well, you know, we always got to let it go to the courts and this and the other. And then when you find out that there is no law, that there is no sane law when it comes right down to it, where does that leave the people in this country?
It leaves them exposed to constant harassment and arrest, which is what Oregonians will be facing very soon as these bills fly through the legislature with no opposition. So now the bill that's being heard today, 243.
This is a Senate bill, by the way, right? And now this was a gut and stuffed bill, right?
Yeah. And so here's the thing about gut and stuff. That is when a bill is taken and the only thing that remains in the original language is the relating clause. So every bill has a clause that says relating to firearms, relating to property rights, relating to, you know, water usage.
And this is one of the reasons why we get really concerned when well-meaning Republicans stupidly put a bill in there that says relating to firearms. Whatever they want will never make it. It will be gutted by the Democrats and replaced with something that does the exact opposite, right?
Yeah. A couple of years ago, we got a draft bill that Greg Smith had was working on relating to firearms. And it was like, Greg, and aside being a grifter, you're an idiot because you've been in the legislature long enough to know this bill has no chance of doing anything but becoming a gut and stuff, where all the language is stripped out of the original bill and replaced with language that the Democrats want. Well, 243, let me say this. At one time, gut and stuffs were a tool that were used to add a concept to a bill or to save something that was late in the session and didn't look like it was going to move. So they would find a bill that hadn't been really used, had the right relating clause, and add some language to it or change the language. Mm-hmm. Now what gun stuffs are a tool by the Democrats to deny the public the right to see what they're actually planning to do while they share that information with left-wing media and their friends. So, for example, 243, which started out as a bill to do a study, now is this massive anti-gun bill that has restrictions on how old you can be, waiting periods after you're approved by the police, and on and on. And what they do is they make the amendments available at the last possible legal moment so that it is almost impossible for the public to keep up on this. And the fact is, it's not like they didn't know what this language was going to be, because House Bill 3076, which was a gut and stuff bill that the original bill said nothing, the language that became part of that bill was being discussed by the left-wing media and the left-wing organization months ago. They had all that language. You couldn't see it, and I couldn't see it, but they had it. Mm. Reporters had it. And this bill, 243, the amendments come out yesterday. The bill is being heard today. And the public is denied the opportunity to see this until the very, very last minute. And then when you have a bill that's fairly long, as most of these are, the ability, the time to analyze it and respond to it as if your response even means anything, really, is almost nothing.
Well, the legislature, our state legislature, is engaging in lawfare against us, not letting us be able to see the legislation and the amendments until the very last second. And you can't formulate a response. Okay.
Right. And then they add clauses that say anybody who wants to challenge this has to do it in the courts we chose. So it's absolutely a tyrannical game that's played. And you wonder, given that people with our values are basically just being slapped around, how long are the Republicans going to sit there and be part of this? And look at this bipartisan bill we supported, and look at what a good friend I am to this guy. Look at how I'm sitting joking. Well,
they're still going through the motions, at this point in time. I spoke with a couple of people at the Lincoln Day dinner, a couple of state reps, and I just said, nothing that you guys do can stop this stuff if you're still there. And they agree with me, but they claim that there is no general support for enough of them to walk down in order to make a difference here, to be able to deny quorum. What do you say?
Oh, that's certainly what I'm hearing. I think there are a few good people who would like to leave, but they realize that unless a significant number of them leave, their walking out will be entirely, symbolic and a formality. And I hope they do, but I look at what's going on, what's happening to the people in this state on so many levels and so many fronts. Property rights, if you're a landlord, they're going to screw you.
If you're a landlord, you can't ask about someone's immigration status. You must rent to the illegal, in other words, all that kind of stuff they're proposing. Yeah.
You can't have your rent match your costs. You basically have to become a charity. And then, yesterday I was looking at some Portland charity that provided low-income housing, and of course they're going broke. of course they are. And so this is what we're faced now, where we've got Democrats and doormats. And that's really, really a tragic thing, because as we know, good people are fleeing the state, perverts and parasites are moving into the state, and because all of these issues are decided by voters, and of course in Oregon, we register people to vote who aren't even legal to be here.
By the way, Rayfield and Tobias Reid, of course, both whizzing in their pantaloons, over the latest executive order from Trump, which would order that in federal elections, ID in order to register to vote must prove you're a citizen, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, they're saying this will make it more difficult to vote. And of course, you and I all know this means makes it more difficult to cheat is really what it is. And that's what they're concerned about.
And that's what they're about. They're all about the cheating and protecting criminals. That is what they do. And there was a story on one of the Portland TV stations yesterday, and it listed all of these studies by supposedly conservative organizations that said there's virtually nobody who's registered to vote who shouldn't be. It's like one millionth of a percentage. And then in the same story, they're literally saying there were 20 instances nationwide of people registering to vote. 20, right? And then
we had more registered in Oregon.
1,600.
I know.
Needed to.
And that's 1,600 they admitted to.
Right.
Okay.
So the cognitive dissonance of these child reporters now is that they assume that who's ever reading them, I'm assuming it was a human who wrote it, maybe not, and who's ever reading it is a liberal moron. It's just you can't not laugh at it, except that what happens to all the people who are stuck in the state because of family or property or jobs? Is slowly the whole state turns into the South Bronx, where miles of apartment buildings burn down because the state said the landlords could not collect enough rent to cover their costs. So they burned them.
Yeah.
That's what they did. And people eventually will get tired of losing money and subsidizing parasites, and they will walk away.
The problem is the people who are forced to be behind, and I count myself as one of them. I have family here. We're standing to fight at this point. The people that are leaving are the ones that used to help us in these fights, unfortunately.
Yeah, because I think they look at it and say, what's the point? What's here? The fight now is largely, whether we like it or not, the fight is largely in the hands of the people we elect. We cannot win in the courts. The Oregon courts are totally compromised. If you look at who they are, who appointed them, the decisions they reach, are absurd. And they drain anybody who's trying to fight in court with the knowledge they have very little chance of succeeding. Ultimately, they're bankrupted. You know, ultimately, organizations like mine, you just can't keep asking people to spend money on losing propositions. So the fights could be won in the legislature.
Yeah, the fights can be won in the legislature, but only if they stop playing the charade. That's it. They're playing charades. The Republicans are playing charades right now with the Democrats. They only have one card to play at this point, and that is denying the quorum for them to do the Democrats to do their dirty deeds. That's it, Kevin. That's it. And yet, you know, you say this, they know it, but they say no one supports it. Well, then why are you there?
Well, exactly. And so, you know, their position, and they're liars. They're frauds. Their position is, well, if I don't stay here, I can't be elected again. And if I don't get elected again, I can't fight for your rights.
Well, yeah, but you're not fighting for our rights right now by staying there.
So what if David Brock Smith was no longer a senator? You know, what if Greg Smith was no longer a House rep? What would change? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
If they were replaced with Democrats, nothing would change.
Precisely. So hanging on to their jobs is all about them. Their job. When these bills pass, a tiny number of people are going to be able to have access their rights. You know, so somebody who can find the required classes, pay all the fees, jump through all the hoops, then you have to find a gun store that hasn't been shut down. And I, you know, typically in these situations, one or two places survive. So the Second Amendment.
It'll be like we'll all have to shop at Cabela's, right? That kind of thing. We'll all have to pilgrimage, or you know,
the pilgrimage for the class and everything else. So
yeah.
Rich people will have access to their rights, and everybody else will not.
Or there's the other side of this, which could be the case here, Kevin. Oregon, especially the rural areas of Oregon, will turn into some of the biggest gun smuggling, gun running areas in the country. What do you think? I'm not advocating this. I'm just saying.
You know, I mean, I'd advocate it, but you know, it really puts people in danger, and people, you know, a lot of people are telling me that I'm not complying. Well, if you don't comply, you're still going to have to get your guns on the black market because the state has basically shut that down. That's exactly where this is going, and so you have to ask, why are the people who are going to lose their jobs, their businesses, you know, people. I spoke to a dealer in Pendleton who's built up his business over years. He's in his late 70s. His business is worth a lot of money. It is going to be destroyed. His employees will be out of work. The owners of these businesses, the families, they're crushed. The employees will be out of work. And if their background is in firearms, there's no place for them to go but out of state. But their jobs are meaningless. The only jobs that matter are drazens. And you know, all the other legislators, the Brock Smiths, the Greg Smiths, all of these people, their jobs are what matter. And obviously in Greg Smith's case, it's because of all the money he makes doing other stuff, you know. But they just do not care about the people of the state. Because if they did, they'd say, what do I even need to be in the legislature for when at least for the moment I could put the brakes on this crap in hopes that maybe something will change.
And so when Christine Drazen sends you a form letter, which she did to you, saying, get in touch with the Democrats and tell them to not pass these bills, that's passing the buck. They're the only ones, the Christine Drazens, the David Brock Smiths, all the people that are saying that they can't walk out. They're the ones that have the power. They're the only ones that have the power because the Democrats promised their people they were going to do this. That's all there is to it, Kevin.
And you can't even ask them to do things that are less extreme. Like, you can't even get them to stand up in committee. You can't even get them to stop supporting. I mean, I sent you an email the other day, you know, bills bad Democrat bills that Republicans are supporting. So what's the point? I mean, should there not even be like the pretense that they're standing up? No, they're all slapping each other on the back, getting what they want. And the businesses and the people of the state are going to be crushed. A handful of people will survive this because they're very, very wealthy.
But the bottom line is, though, the Republicans have only one power. It's only one power. And I know we've talked about this incessantly, and we're told that we can't possibly do this. Well, then don't tell me that you're fighting.
Yeah, please don't ask me for money.
And not a penny. I wouldn't send a penny to any of these things. Oregon Republican Party emailing me. Right, this one. Hey, we'll fight for your rights. It's just like, no, they're not fighting for our rights right now, because if they were fighting for these rights, when these gun bills and these other property rights stripping things come up, you can't be there. That's all you can do right now, because otherwise it passes.
And you have to ask yourself, what does the Oregon Republican Party do? They do nothing. They're the most dysfunctional, amorphous blob.
And they can do something, though. They can be relevant.
Of course they can be relevant. I mean, you look at Republican parties in other states who ride herd on legislators, who keep in touch with the people who say, this is what we expect of legislators. If you run as a Republican and don't do this, we're coming after you. And in Oregon, the Republican Party does nothing. And obviously it's been through constant changes of leadership and really good people who've been leaders have thrown up their hands and given up. I mean, Art Robinson was the chair of the party for a while, and Bob Kiernan was the chair of the party, and these people, and Susan Gallagher, and they just get run out by the internecine fighting of these little petty groups who really only want to maintain their ability to have bake sales and run their own little programs that aren't really even conservative programs.
Mm-hmm. You know, truly representing your constituents right now is hard. You need to do the hard thing. And that's where, and frankly, that's why when everybody's saying, hey, call Christine or call the Democrats on the gun bills and the property rights bills and everything else. No, that's not going to have any effect. Golden is going to vote the way Golden is going to vote. He's made it clear. Okay. And there's just no changing that around at this point. It's in the Republicans' court, and don't let any Republicans tell you differently. I think that's our takeaway from our conversation, Kevin. Okay, I appreciate that. Hey, I got a roll at this point, and good luck on your May shooting event. I'll post that information up here too. But you can go to OregonFirearms.org because that's a fundraiser to keep shoveling money into the legal fight, because we have no choice but to continue to do that. All right. And Kevin, be well, and thank you again for the truth.